Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. It is always great to be able to not only share with you guys great books, but I think messages that are in these books that I think we can all learn from. Our next guest is someone who's become known for not only entertaining, but I think also inspiring through her work. Kim Vogel-Sawyer is with us today to talk to us not only about her new book, When Grace Sings, but also what it's been like for her to know that she's become a go-to person for readers who are looking for not only the entertainment, but also something that will motivate them as well. We'll talk to Kim a little bit about her journey, as well as the journey of some of her characters that she introduces in When Grace Sings. If you all are just hearing about the book, I'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Kim, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. A lot for us to talk about for sure with When Grace Sings. We will get into that a little bit later. But I want to first talk about this experience for you because, as I said, you have become one of those people, Kim, that readers love not only because your stories are entertaining, but because I think, you know, we all can see ourselves in them and, you know, and it gives us hope. I mean, what has that been like for you as you've been able to hear from your readers as to how your books have affected them?
You know, it wasn't something that I think a person sets out to do, is to impact a life. It's basically you want to kind of see your words out there and see for me it was a childhood dream come true. And so, you know, that was the main thing. But the side effect of finding out that people did relate well to these characters and that they could take life lessons away from the pages kind of changed my outlook and gave me an accountability to a certain extent. I mean, the stories are just bathed in prayer, and I just pray that if there's somebody out there who's struggling and that there's something in the book that can help them, they'll make that connection and come away a little stronger and a little bit more encouraged.
Yeah, and I think you have become one of these people, Kim, I've noticed it in the books I've read of yours, that you're not afraid to tackle the tough issues. You do it in the book When Grace Sings, you know, where you tackle, you know, things like, of course, forgiveness and secrets and people feeling betrayed, but also things that hit closer to home literally, like divorce and you know, and problems in the marriage and what happens sometimes when, you know, that happily ever after that people expect does not happen. I mean, have you always known that was what you wanted to do, to be able to showcase real people that are going through real problems?
Well, I think when you write, and I think any author will say this, you cannot help but write a little bit of yourself onto the pages. And so when you are experiencing the harder issues and the deep emotional pain, sometimes it's a cathartic experience to write it out, let the characters face it and work their way through it. And it lets you work your way through it at the same time. So it's just kind of a personal overflow, for lack of a better way of explaining it.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. And I think even, you know, as you're able to play with words, even with this new book, I mean, we're able to kind of get an idea of the characters. What about Anna Grace? I mean, how did she come to you?
Well, interestingly enough, Anna Grace came through in a side product of a series I wrote in 2008 called the Summerfield Trilogy. And when that trilogy ended, there was a couple that we've learned were not able to have children. And I guess it's kind of silly, but I think about my characters after the stories are done. And I always imagined that particular couple was able to adopt a child. And I envisioned her being a little girl. And so it was funny how that little girl came to be a part of this totally different series years later, but she just walked onto the page. And my oldest daughter has the privilege of raising some children who were not born to her biologically. So the whole idea of adoption is really precious to me, and how you just grow to love these children that maybe weren't born to you, but it just becomes so much a part of your heart.
Exactly. And, you know, to almost be a contrast to Anna Grace, we have, you know, this other character, which I had mixed feelings with, and that was Alexa. And I guess I say I had mixed feelings with her Kim, because, you know, it's always difficult when you know something and, you know, you're trying to process what you know and not share it with those that you're not supposed to be sharing it with for whatever reason. You know, and then, of course, the resentment that can build from even that aspect. I mean, what about her character? Was that something that was also, you know, near and dear to you?
Well, Alexa is so unique in that she spent her life under a cover of secrets, and all of these became revealed in the first book of the trilogy. You know, we're looking at book number two. And so as we open book two, Alexa is dealing with so much. She realizes that this really isn't her family, it is her family. There's other people that belong probably more than what she thinks she ought to, but she doesn't want them to. It's just a lot of confusion and mixed emotions there. Alexa was a very complex individual, and she's kind of an accumulation of several people that I know.
Yeah.
And I won't name names because I think that could get me in trouble. But it was really interesting to bring her character to life and let her deal with all of these different emotions and handle them with the maturity that she had for a young woman. And I hope that has been an encouragement to others who are kind of stepping into a situation that's totally new and maybe a little confusing and a little scary, that you can have the strength to do it if you don't just rely on yourself. And I think that was what Alexa's deepest lesson was, is not to rely just on herself, but on who she is in God's eyes, rather than always in just these people's eyes.
Yeah. You know, I think it goes to something, and I mentioned this to you before we went live here, Kim, that I think a lot of us struggle with, and that is knowing who we are and knowing whose we are, which I think is a lot, you know, more important question, I think, for us these days, especially individuals of faith. I mean, has the assurance of knowing who you belong to and who you are to Him, has that been one of the things that has kind of guided you throughout this journey, not only as a storyteller, but also in life?
Absolutely. I have always been an extremely shy individual. I didn't have a lot of friends when I was growing up because we moved a lot. And when you're shy, it takes a long time to get to know people. Never really had that chance because we didn't stay in one place very long. And so my faith became a very, very important part of me, because no matter where I went, I knew that God was with me and that if I needed to talk to someone, He would be there. And so that, you know, that knowledge that He would never let me go, that no matter where I was still His, and he was with me, was extremely important to me in my younger years. And I think it was a real good lesson to carry into my adult years as well, because the older you get, the more situations you encounter that can be difficult. I mean, life is just a stressful journey for all of us. But boy, learning as a little girl that I was never alone, that He was there for me, was probably the best thing I carried with me into my adult years.
What a great lesson for all of us. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome to our program today Kim Vogel-Sawyer. We're talking to her not only about her literary journey and how she's been able to inspire along the way, but her newest book released this year, book two in her series, When Grace Sings, is the title of this book. We'll tell you a little bit later how you guys can catch up, go back and read book one, as well as, of course, stay connected with Kim moving forward. So, Kim, have you gotten used to the idea? Because, you know, even as I was prepping for the segment and promoting the segment online, you know, you have really built up not only a strong following for yourself, of course, that are, I'm sure, they're, you know, being able to meet you physically, but also your online audience as well. What has that been like for you to hear from these people who have never met you but have really fallen in love with you through your books?
It just, I think, especially considering, you know, the little girl who didn't have friends, to be able to communicate with these people. And, I mean, even from overseas, I'm just blown away when I, you know, hear from somebody from Holland or from Germany or, you know, from Romania, and they've read the books and they feel a connection to me. I don't know how to describe it. I'm a writer. I ought to be able to. But it's so far outside of anything that I ever expected. And it's such an incredible blessing. And it's also a huge responsibility because I don't want to let them down. You know, I don't want to put something out there that would discourage them or make them question their faith. So it really, you know, it's tempered with a responsibility, but it, I think it's mostly blessing. It's just an awesome experience.
I think that is the amazing thing. And I think, you know, one of the things I took away, you know, and I think other guys will appreciate this as well, is that you're able to write characters, you know, male and female, I should say, that are not only able to show us what is possible, but also give us some great, you know, examples for ourselves. One of the scriptures that stands out in the book is one that I wanted to mention. It's in chapter 23. It's in the chapter for Stephen, Stephen's part, and it's Psalm 139, verse 3. Thou compass my path. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, when you think about that, that this is not about you, that you don't have to go through life by yourself, that you have the ultimate of guides to be able to help you along your path. Is that one of the things that's also been comforting for you? Because one of the things, one of the sentences that was there that I thought was so powerful, Kim, was, say, well, then I would say you should step up your prayers, because either you're on the wrong path or the other person needs to hear God's voice more clearly. Pray God would move the roadblock if you're meant to continue, or ask him to open a new path that is more of his choosing for you. And, you know, so is that one of the things that has really helped you to realize that you have that guide to be able to be there to, you know, to steer you in the right direction?
Absolutely. And, you know, I can, now that I'm in my mid-50s, I love to be able to look back and see those places where, you know, I felt like I was just beating my head against a wall. And what it was God was trying to get me to turn and look in a different direction, a better one. One that was better for me and that would bring more glory to him. We can get so set in our own ways. And, boy, when we look to heaven and we say, God, just, you know, guide me, he will. He's just waiting for us to let go of our selfishness, and then he can do all kinds of wonderful things in our lives. But we have to let go.
Exactly. And that letting go is not easy. It's not
an
easy thing.
No, it's not.
You know, I mentioned to you what was almost another character in the book was guilt. And there's a great conversation you have in the book between grandmother, as we call her, and Alexa in chapter 24. I mean, and there the grandmother is talking to Alexa about guilt and how it was what really kept her bound for so long and the freedom she now felt. I mean, talk to us about that and what that's been like for you to be able to showcase in not only this book and others, but the importance of not being weighed down or head prisoner to guilt, but allowing ourselves to be free and allow God's love to be that key to freedom.
I think it's so important for us to understand that we're human and we're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's a given. We can't help it. It's just
right. Because
we're human. But we don't have to allow those mistakes to dictate who we are for the rest of our lives. When we ask forgiveness, when we show accountability, and then we look forward and we let that go, it gives us a chance to walk more confidently than what we would have before. It hurts me when I hear about people who have allowed one mistake to totally change the course of their entire lives. It happens. You start thinking differently about yourself. You start looking at yourself as a failure. And that's not the way God wants us to view ourselves. He wants us to have emotional freedom and to be able to be happy and joyful in our spirits. You can't do that when you're mired in regret. And so we've got to learn how to realize, okay, yeah, I messed up. I made a mistake. Now let's make amends. And let's move forward in a new direction. And I think people would just be so much happier if they would do that.
Yeah. Do you think one of the great lessons of a book like When Grace Sings, Kim, is that you're never too far from God's love? I think that is one of the things that it seems as though, especially Alexa, you know, needs to, you know, remember. And I think we all need that that reminder every now and then that no matter what has happened or where you come from, that you're never too far for him to reach you.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting to me when I stop and think, and I love that whole of Psalm 139. I mean, the entire psalm is just beautiful. But there's so much in there about how, you know, God knew the number of our days before we were born, and that He has a beautiful plan for our lives. And His attention to us, His love for us never changes. We change. We go running, you know, in strange directions sometimes,
right,
and try to get away from Him, but He never moves. So as soon as we turn back and say, okay, you know, I don't want to be apart from Him anymore, boom, He's right there. You know, that's all it takes. And for me, there's a lot of security in that. There's nothing in this world that offers me the kind of stability that God does. There's nothing in this world that will last into eternity except my relationship with Him. And when I remember that, it just gives me such a strong base on which to stand and totally changes my outlook. I just wish more people would see that, it, rather than try to get caught up in things and human relationships that they're looking for satisfaction. And it's never going to happen. It will only, the deep down satisfaction will only come through a relationship with Him.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think we've all been guilty of trying to fill the void. People use it for so many different things. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, I think hearing a conversation like this, reading a book like When Grace Sings, you know, will kind of help them to remember that. And I think that's one of the great things about your being so well-received as well, Kim, because it allows people, and you know, under the guise of fiction, to see the truth of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you've been able to do with characters like this. You know, is that a side benefit for you? I mean, because you are doing work that you love. You know, you are, you know, in this career that you're very passionate about. Is it a side benefit for you that people are able to see, you know, that there is something better for themselves?
Absolutely. It is so gratifying to think that, you know, when I'm sitting at that computer, and I spend a lot of time in prayer before I open the computer pages, because I really do want the stories to sing with grace. I mean, that's just important to me. But it really touches me when I know something in the story has impacted someone, because then I know the Holy Spirit has been involved. It's not just Kim sitting down there, you know, pecking on the keyboard, but there's somebody bigger involved. And, boy, it's really nice to be in partnership with God and with the Holy Spirit.
Well, I really appreciate your writing a book like this and sharing it with our audience here. Again, everyone, Kim Vogel-Sawyer has been our guest. When Grace Sings is the title of her new book. Great conversation, Kim. Another great title. The book, of course, is available through our friends at Amazon.com. Of course, you can get it from your favorite online retailer or go to your favorite bookstore. And if they don't have it, they'll be more than happy to order it for you. Kim, you have a website set up that kind of walks them through not only the other books, but also how they can stay connected with you through social media. Why don't you give that website out for them?
Well, it's very simple. It's just my author name, KimVogelSawyer.com. And love to have visitors there. I try to keep people updated on the new releases and any kind of speaking events. And I love to meet people in person. It's great to talk with them online, but face-to-face is even better. So really enjoy those opportunities.
So make sure you guys do go to the website to stay connected with Kim to find out when you have the opportunity to meet her again. KimVogelSawyer.com is that website. Kim, it goes without saying you're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to staying connected with you.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another segment of Conversations Live. If you're joining us on the radio side of our show, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come. For those joining us, though, on the online side, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link and listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.